Praise God. Just before I get into the message, I just want to mention something. You know, we're kind of in a transition phase, if as it were, you know, in the church as we've gone through a four-year-plus process of building, and I'm excited that we're where we're at and all the progress that was made. And I mean, just stop and think about this for a second. We have... We've spent $530,000 in the last, yeah, yikes. And it's a miracle, you know. We didn't have to borrow money. We're just so grateful for that and all, and we've mentioned that a number of times. But I say that to say this. We are still wrapping up some things, and as you probably heard us talk numerous times about the kitchen that we're building next door, it's going to be awesome, and really excited about that. And one of our other big goals this year is to pave the main parking lot. Would you appreciate that? So to that end, Kurt Fullman, who's helped over the years, you know, just communicate with the congregation and put those needs out there, there's a letter, I think it might be going out tomorrow, and I just wanted you to kind of have a heads up about that. Some of you, you know, have given generously and even recently and such like that, and then you get a letter in the mail, and it's like... We're just simply saying this is where we're at, and there's no pledge card, there's no tear this off, send this back, pledge this, give, you know, it's just this is where we're at, and this is what we're trying to accomplish this year. And as the Lord leads you, you know, we would just encourage your involvement in that. So the details of that, you know, we're well into this project and hope to be done before Easter, I think that was what we were saying. and we've spent a good number, a good amount of money. We've spent over $20,000 just this year, on what we've done so far. We've got another 9 or 10 to go. We think that's about a $30,000 project, which we're, like I say, probably 2/3 of the way, at least in terms of money spent, through on that. And then the parking lot, that's a big one. That's about $50,000-ish. So, and the Lord has blessed, you know, a lot of times out of the general fund, we're able to do a lot of this stuff, and then your donations and your, what you give really, really helps and is a blessing. So I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. What's coming, what you should get in the mail. And we do our best, you know, try to, you know, with the names and folks that are, you know, a part of the church and, ones that we have addresses and such, you know, if we don't have that information, obviously you won't get that. But, we try to work on that and keep up to date on that. So just wanted you to be aware of that. So this morning, the title of the message is Signs of the Times. You know, sometimes, I feel like as a church, and I'm not talking specifically about Harvest, you know, we could be guilty of it sometimes, but I think sometimes, and just in general, one knock on the church is that we are answering questions that nobody's asking, you know? And, you know, and I try to, when I stand up here on a Sunday morning or try to communicate in whatever venue it is, I try to... obviously, get a sense of the heart of God and what I, you know, feel like He would want me to say and do and how He would want me to share and all. And I'm trying to be relevant in terms of what are the questions that people are asking? You know, what are the things that are, I'm not trying to say that I'm people driven in that sense, you know, that I just want to please people or something like that. But, you know, I think of all that we all go through each day as we walk on this earth and live this life, you know, and try to honor God in our lives. And so I think about all that and try to make sure, you know, Lord, what would you have me to say, and believe that it's relevant for what people are thinking, what people are going through right now. And so, signs of the times. In Matthew 16, verse 1, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they came to Jesus, and they asked Him to show them a sign from heaven. Right? So they're watching this man, they're hearing His teachings, they're seeing what He's doing, there's some curiosity about Him. You know, what's this guy about? There's some skepticism, I think, about Him. You know, we don't necessarily, they didn't obviously embrace him at that point in large part as their Messiah. But so they come to him and they're like, you know, if you just like kind of do a sign, you know, if you would do something that would kind of show us, you know, that you are who you say you are. And so that's what they ask him in Matthew 16, verse 1. And then in verses 2 and 3, he gives an answer to them. This is his answer. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." I put it in caps there just so you would know that's where I got the title from. You cannot discern the signs of the times, the things that are going on around you. There's a similar verse found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 54 through 56. And I think it's a different instance, but it's a very similar response that Jesus gave. And in this case, it says he's speaking to the multitudes. "Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say there will be hot weather. And there it is." And there is. "Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth, but how is it that you cannot, that you do not discern the time?" So I take from these passages in Matthew and in Luke that God expects us to understand what's going on, understand what is happening in the world around us and how it relates to Scripture. And I hope that you're like me, in the sense that I try to filter everything through this, right? This is the filter that I use as I look at the world. I want to look at the world and look at what's going on with a biblical worldview. You know, we throw that word around, that term around sometimes. So it is not far-fetched conspiracy theory, sci-fi, you know, sensationalism to say, you know, that we're talking, you know, like this, what's going on around us, this relates to the Scriptures. This relates to, you know, things that are written in the Scriptures. That should be a normal part of our Christian experience. In Acts chapter 2, verse 16, when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost and the people were confused, the people are watching, they're seeing what's happening to the disciples as they're filled with the Holy Spirit and they're, you know, and they're speaking in tongues and glorifying God and prophesying and they're like, what is going on? And in verse 16 of Acts chapter 2, Peter says, "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." He was able to say, he was able to link what was going on with something from the Scriptures. And we need to be able to, church, not just me as a pastor, we all should be able to look at things going on, turn on the news, not in every single thing that happens, but I think a lot more than what we are aware sometimes. We should be able to say, this is that, right? This is what the Scriptures were talking about. And again, now here's the thing. I've been in the body of Christ long enough. I've been around this walk with Christ and in the church, you know, for the two-thirds of my life, you know, 45 years or so, a little over two-thirds, I guess. But I've seen enough, and many of you probably have too, to know how this can be abused, right? How people have taken it too far and they've misused it, and that's just the nature of human. It's just our human nature, we'll put it that way. You know, and some people have been very far-fetched and they've taken things, you know, trying to, quote, interpret the signs of the times, and they've done things that have not helped our cause, you know, as Christians. And sometimes it frankly look foolish as claims have been made and such. And like so many things, when you see something abused, when you see it misused, used wrongly or taken too far, there's that natural tendency in us sometimes to say, I'll stay away from that, right? Gifts of the Spirit, you know, go back to that reference. You know, I was just talking about Acts chapter 2 and the day of Pentecost. Sometimes those things have been abused in the church. They've been misused and such like that. And it causes people sometimes to just back away. You know, I just don't want anything to do with that. Those people are crazy, right? And that sort of thing. So where am I going with all this? Signs of the times. And again, trying to maybe answer some questions that people are asking. So let me go back again to a common thing that has been so much a part of our lives over the last 2 years, you know what I'm about to say, and that is COVID, right? COVID has changed our world. And I think in many ways, some of those changes are permanent. I don't think there's some ways we're not going back in some respects. In the beginning, a lot of folks thought, you know, a few weeks, remember? It's almost comical now, you know? I mean, we all remember 14 days to flatten the curve, right? We remember Vice President Pence, Dr. Fauci, Deborah Birx, remember that doctor? It's like, she just disappeared. I don't know where she is. Remember her with the scarves? Everybody always noticed her, the way she dressed. But anyways, and I remember like it was yesterday. It was only 2 years ago, but I remember like it was yesterday where, you know, and they stood there at that press conference and they said, you know, they had their graphs and everything, said, just give us 2 weeks, right? Remember? Just give us 2 weeks. And, you know, stay home, kind of we'll kind of put a pause on stuff. And if we just get this 2 weeks, we'll be able to flatten the curve, right? 14 days to flatten the curve. And, as I saw once on, Facebook and, you know, other places, but, you know, the hardest part about 14 days to flatten the curve is the first 2 years. And, right? So, you know, we've all been through it, and I know there's a lot to learn, and there's things that was new and all that, one thing that this whole past couple of years and this pandemic has done in our country and in the world is it has acted as an accelerant, I think. It accelerated some things that were already in the works. Some things that were already starting to happen and coming, you know, together and this and that. And I feel like that COVID became an opportunity to accelerate some of those things. And here's one of the things that I think that COVID has accelerated. Now, many of you, I always feel like I got to preface this a little bit. Many of you have known me for a number of years, in some cases decades. And I'm not a conspiracy guy. I try to, at least this is the way I view myself. You may have told, you know how they say when two people meet, there's six people there? You know, there's the person you think you are, there's the person they think you are, and there's a person that God knows you are, right? And then there's the same for the other. So there's a lot going on. So I have a perception of myself. You may not share it exactly as I do, but, and part of that perception is I try to think that I'm fairly level-headed and fairly even-keeled about things. And so I don't just try not to jump on every bandwagon that comes along and such. So I say all that to say this. You know, one of the things that we are still dealing with right now, and I guarantee you if you open an app on your phone that has news on it or you turn on the TV and watch the news that you're going to hear it, I guarantee you'll hear it today. And it has to do with vaccines and vaccine mandates, right? I mean, this is just a common everyday thing now, and the Canadian truckers and all that sort of stuff, you know, everything that's going on. And what I'm about to say has nothing to do with the vaccine. Okay? I don't care if you're in favor of it or if you're opposed to it. And it really doesn't even have to do specifically with the idea of vaccine mandates. You know, whether you're in favor of those or opposed to those. That's not really where it's going. But I'm saying that there's something related to this. You know, this whole idea of these mandates, you know, people say, oh, you're getting political, and I'm not. I'm just making a statement. It's very obvious. Our president, his press secretary, the Speaker of the House of Representatives have all said within the last few months that we would never go down that road, right? We would never do that. That mandates are just, that's not who we are, that's not what America is. And, you know, they're all on record of having said that. I've seen it, I've watched it, probably you have too. We'll never go down that road. And yet, here we are. And I know it's different in every country and such like that. And, you know, we're dealing with our own issues. They're up north. Our friends up north are dealing with their own issues in different countries in Europe and such. You know, everybody's walking through this. So just in the interest of full disclosure, if you care, I don't care if you care or not. But I'm just, you know, I was very late to the game. I did eventually get vaccinated. It was like in December. And that was after months of praying about it and, you know, just trying to do what I felt was the right thing to do. And that will make some of you happy and that will make some of you mad and that's your problem. I just did it. And I remember going down to Walgreens that day to get the first shot and I was like, and I said to the guy, hurry up before I change my mind. Cause I am so ambivalent about this. I didn't care when it all first started, when the vaccine first came out. I was like, I don't care if I'm the last person in the country. I just was not interested in that sense. But, you know, and I know there's holes in my thinking and my rationale, and there probably is in yours too. But for me, I made that decision. You know what the hardest part about making that decision was? Is turning on the television and being berated by our governor and by our president, you know, for everybody that wasn't. You know, then I'd want to just dig in my heels and say, no, you can't do that. You know, I am not going to be Kathy Hochul's apostle. Right? Did anybody hear that? Will you be my apostles and go out? No, I'm sorry. I'm not going to do that. But beyond all that, you know, is this issue of mandates and such like that, and we're dealing with it. Our family has dealt with it. We have a daughter who's a nurse. We have a son who's in the military. We have a son-in-law who's a federal employee. You know, and we've all had to wrestle with this. And actually, I was talking to Michael last night, and we talked a lot about it. To some degree about it. But here's the point, and it's not even about the mandates themselves. It is in this climate, what this is doing in our society and how that relates to something I believe the Bible talks about as we approach the coming of the Lord. How's that for a good tease? You know? And, you know, that there's something in this, I think, that we can look at and say, you know, the Word of God speaks to this in some capacity. If things go in the direction that they've been going, that where you can go, where you can work, what you can do, even what medical treatment you can receive is based on that, your vaccine status, if things keep going in that direction, it's going to force something upon us, and it already is to some degree, but I think even more so. Now, I kind of sense, I don't know if I'm wrong, I kind of sense like there may be a little backtracking, you know, going on amongst some those in authority and such. It seems like I haven't been hearing much about the, you know, that drumbeat as much as it was maybe 2-3 months ago. But here's the point. Proof of, you know, to whatever degree this goes and however much farther this goes down the road, you could see that proof of vaccination is going to become an increasingly large part of our social interaction. You know, it may not go that way. I hope it doesn't. You know, there may come a day when, and again, maybe we're past that. I don't know. But we've talked about it. Lori and I have talked, you know, you may not be able to get on an airplane someday or something like that, right? And with all this stuff, you see people on the news, you read these stories that people are being denied, organ transplants and such like that and all this. And so the point is that this is going to become a very important thing, you know, even more so than it is, that you are able to show that you have been vaccinated. Lori and I, we talked about back before Christmas, was it Nutcracker, I think, you wanted to go see? We talked about, oh, Scrooge. I couldn't remember what. There was a play that she wanted to go see Scrooge, and that I think it was Jeeva, you had to be vaccinated, you know, to go there. I know people that were vaccinated simply so they could get into Highmark Stadium and watch the Bills play, right? I mean, we've got to have our priorities straight here, right? There's one particular person who just, no, you can't go to the Bills games. I'll get it, you know, kind of thing, right? You know, so it's kind of comical a little bit, but everybody's got their lines that they draw, I guess. So I want to read a scripture to you, and don't jump to conclusions, okay? Give me 10 minutes or so to sort out what I'm about, to unpack, as we say. You know, I'm about to read from the scriptures and show you where I want to go with this. And don't jump to conclusions. But, you know, when I was first saved, you know, which is back in the 70s, a lot of, you know, there was a lot of books, you know, the Christian books that came out. There were even movies that came out, you know, like End Times, Last Days kind of thing, and The Return of the Lord. And there was one verse that would always usually be at the center of this discussion. And it's from Revelation chapter 13. He causes all, he is the beast, you know, we'll just say the devil, we'll just keep it simple, the beast, you know, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom, let him who understands calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, his number is 666. Okay? Most of you probably heard that before. Some of you maybe have that's new to you. The mark of the beast. And like I said, when I was first saved, this was like stuff that was talked about a lot. It seems like a little bit, it's not so much anymore. And I don't know, you know, back in the 80s, there were very reputable Bible teachers that I really respected and such, and probably all of us did, you know, and they were just like, man, I don't think we're going to see the 90s, you know. I just think, you know, Jesus is coming back. Everything's just lining up so perfectly according to scripture. And here we are in 2022. So I think sometimes people have kind of lost their appetite a little bit for, you know, some of this stuff because, you know, there's people, you hear about these folks that go sell all they have and go up on some mountaintop, you know, somewhere and wait for Jesus to return. And he hasn't. See, every generation, since he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven and lifted off the Mount of Olives some 2,000 years ago, every generation said he's going to come back in our lifetime, in our generation. And it hasn't happened. So where am I going with all this? I'm not saying the vaccine is the mark of the beast. There are actually people that have said that. I mean, actually people who have said that. That's what I'm going to say. People get loony and get crazy about it. And I'm not even saying that the vaccine mandates are necessary, anything like that. But here's what I'm saying. Like I said, when I was a young Christian, this was talked about a lot, and you don't necessarily hear it as much anymore. But because this thing, and again, I say COVID can be an accelerant, because this vaccine status thing could become something that identifies who can do certain things and who can't, you know, go certain places and such like that, that could lead to an acceleration in the way that people are able to verify, if you will, you know, their status, you know, and right now, you know, you get this silly little card, right? And a third grader could counterfeit it, you know? It says CDC on the top of it, I think, and it'll say, you know, have some numbers written on it at a date and a batch number and whatever, Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, you know, and you get that little card. You're supposed to carry it with you, I guess. I don't know. I've never had to show it to anybody. And but, you know, you're supposed to have it. And as a matter of fact, see, it's a felony to create a fraudulent one, right? And yet there's a black market out there for them because, see, fallen human nature is always trying to beat the system, right? And as a matter of fact, you know, you think about people going, again, I use the example to the Bills game, and they got this silly little card that any third grader could, you know, get on a computer and make a, you know, make a facsimile of it that, you know, on the surface, it doesn't have any scan thing on it, any QR code. So, you know, it's like, there's an issue here. This is just rife for fraud. There's no way to verify it. You know, can you imagine you're walking into the stadium and, you know, how are they going to, you know, actually take the time to figure out that all 70,000 people, that their card is legit? Actually, though, I did read a story of two people getting arrested. It's a felony. A husband and wife going to the playoff game there a few weeks back. And I don't know if they just randomly, you know, pick a few people here and there. And they had fraudulent cards and they're in trouble. They got arrested for that. if we could just figure out a way to make it fraud proof, you know, if there's just a way that we could get around that, how could this be fraud proof, if you will? I want to read something to you. This is taken from a news site called Euronews. Euronews. And you can just look this up. Some of you are aware of it. Some of you, this may be new. You can find it anywhere. It's not just on some fringe news site out there or whatever. This is very mainstream. Everybody, you can go anywhere and read about this. And I'll just read a little excerpt from this article from Euronews. Thousands of Swedes have been pioneering the use of futuristic microchips that are implanted under the skin of the hand. The technology used for everyday tasks like accessing your smartphone, opening the front door, or setting an alarm. Those behind the microchips, which are the size of a rice grain and implanted via a syringe, are working to access other parts of Europe. Eric Larson, who leads Biohacks, that's a weird name, Biohacks Italia, is waiting for approval in Italy for medical centers and the health ministry. He said he expects to implant a chip in about, this was written actually in January of 21, this article, the one I pulled off the internet, to implant a chip into about 2,500 people in the first 6 to 8 months in Milan and Rome. This is in Italy, you know, they're talking about, it's in Sweden and it's going pretty significantly in Sweden, but he's talking about Italy now. Even without health ministry certification, Biohacks Italia has been able to embed these chips into a few hundred people with the help of a medical center. It's a step toward the future. It's extremely futuristic, although it is already happening. The technology was born to help us, to give us small superpowers, Larson told Euronews. Swedish IT solutions planner Martin Lewin uses the two microchips in his hand for things like logging into a computer, setting the office alarm, and launching his LinkedIn profile. But using them as an alternative to cash or card payments is expected to be the tipping point for the technology. It's no different than just removing the need for a wallet, the need for a keychain, the need for all those disconnected tokens that only create risk, because if you lose them, you lose your identity, said Johan Osterlund, who is behind the startup Biohacks International. If you lose your key, you won't get into your house. If someone else gets your key, they can break into your house. In Sweden, the microchips can be used as a train ticket, but Lewin hopes that he will soon be able to make payments with them. That's what I hope will be the basic function, he told Euronews. I look forward to an ecosystem where the chip is able to provide all types of access, where your identity can be carried with you in a simple way. Osterlund then said they are working with partners so that these microchips contain health information. And in the event that someone's brought in unconscious to a hospital, paramedic could scan the chip in their hand and get information about allergies and pre-existing conditions. For now, they're working on regulating the chips in terms of the grade of material and the level of data protection. We're pushing legislation to actually enforce and create a regulatory framework around this, because we do work in a legal gray zone right now, which is good for development, said Osterlund. He says it is a technology that exists already in at least 20 countries. Biotech in the United Kingdom has implanted roughly 250 people with microchips. The implants are not regulated as medical devices and thus can be implanted in anyone, said Northam at Biotech, but the company only uses doctors to implant them. Personally, I don't see any downside. I know there are people who are worried that they can be traced, but it is a passive technology, so there's nothing you can't control over yourself, said Lewin. The popularity of these chips will boil down to what problem it is solving for us. Look how quickly we changed from cash money to contactless payments. So, read that story, and maybe you've heard a little bit about it, and maybe you haven't. But this article was written about a year ago, and there was no talk in that about the vaccine or anything like that, or vaccine passports. You know, you can get something on your phone, right? An Excelsior pass in New York State and such like that. Now, I am not saying that anybody who has that microchip has received the mark of the beast. That's not at all what I'm saying. You know, and I was talking to Jason Marciano about it a little bit this week, and I agree totally with what he said. He said, when that actually comes about, this idea of the mark of the beast, and having something implanted in you or a mark on you or whatever, you know, he said, that's going to be a conscious choice. That somebody actually knows what they're doing and they do it. It's not like, oh, I did this by accident. No, I'm condemned, you know, forever. It's not that. It's like somebody makes a conscious choice, not just to get an implant to make payments or something like that, but make a conscious choice to do this, you know, knowing what it really is and knowing the significance of it. And I think that's pretty good rationale. But this is what I believe, and this is why I go down this whole road, and you may think I'm off on some fringe or whatever. But this is what I believe. Things like this lead to a gradual desensitizing that we learn to get comfortable with things that we wouldn't have been comfortable with before. And that's what I'm ultimately saying. And that's why we've got to understand the signs of the times. That's why we've got to have our eyes open. That's why we've got to be discerning of the things that are going on around us. You know, I remember, again, I was saved in 1977, and I would hear, again, like it was so much more preaching about this kind of stuff 45 years ago. And I would hear people talk about a cashless society. How many go back that far and remember, you know? We're going to a cashless society. And at the time, it seemed kind of crazy, right? It's like, oh, how could that ever happen, you know? And they would refer to this verse and this passage and stuff like that. And you say, well, I never let that happen. But over time, we become comfortable with things. And it just becomes part of our normal daily interactions and such. You know, and when things like this happen, they happen slowly. You know, if you went to bed last night and gas was $2.30 a gallon and you woke up this morning and it was $3.80, right? There'd be revolt in the streets. But because it happened over a long period of time, you say, oh, it's just another nickel, you know, another nickel a gallon or another 10 cents or something like that. We just get used to things because they happen slowly. And I know, you know, everybody's got a different level of comfort when it comes to electronic transactions, financial transactions. You know, I know when we started doing electronic giving in the church, some people said, no, I'm not interested in that. And that's fine, totally fine with that. But, you know, a lot of those folks that would say, no, I don't like that. I don't like doing that kind of stuff. I bet you if you're older, your social security check you're getting electronically, right? They don't send out checks anymore, right? You've got a social security comes via direct deposit. And if you're younger and you're getting paid, chances are you're getting paid with direct deposit. And my whole point is this. We get used to things that we would have said. If your employer 40 years ago said, hey, this new thing came along, I can just transfer money electronically into your account, you'd say, no thanks. I don't know. I want a check, right? I want to have a paper trail or something. Remember what we used to say, you know, things like, well, got to have a paper trail or something. You know, but we get used to things. Checks have been around for a long time, but there was probably a time where people were saying like, no, I think I want cash, you know. I want cash. There's still a little bit of that goes around. And probably even before that, people were saying, I don't want some green piece of paper. I want gold, you know. It's just, or silver or something. I want a commodity, something that I can say, this has value to it. But over time, we get desensitized and we get to accept things that we thought years ago we would never accept. And that's all I'm saying about this. I'm not trying to, you know, well, like I say, COVID has become an accelerant. And things that maybe were in the works, you know, some of this microchip stuff or whatever, you know, all that, whether that's ultimately going to lead to something, you know, only God knows. But it's just like trying to just look at what's happening and try to discern, you know, what's going on. You know, probably some of you, you know, when you go to work now, you have to wear a lanyard with a plastic ID badge, right? And you have to, you know, to get in the doors and stuff like that. And I can imagine it's not going to be that many years down the road where somebody's going to say, can you believe we used to do that? You know, can you believe we used to wear this thing around our neck and have to swipe? You know, when it's so much easier to just go like that, you know, and open the door, right? I mean, think about a poor, you know, lady, and she dresses up and she wants to look nice when she goes to work, and she's got to wear this dumb thing around her. You know, it's like, that's not a very attractive piece of jewelry, you know? And so how 2000-ish, you know, that you wear this silly thing around your neck that you have to use, you know, to get in places and identify yourself and give you access and open doors and stuff like that. How archaic is that? Things change over time, and we've got to be careful and understand and be discerning. Wouldn't it be easier if you could just walk up to a door or walk up to a checkout, you know, in a store and just put your hand, you know, by the terminal and pay for your pay for your groceries? What about if somebody doesn't have a hand? Or what if they're, you know, a double amputee, you know, in the military? And well, that's where, you know, you can live without your hands. You can't live without your head, right? So if you can't put it in your hand, they put it in your forehead or something. Like, you know, that's the idea behind that. Kind of creates this comical image of somebody like going like this at Walmart, you know, at the terminal, you know, like paying for their groceries or whatever. But imagine if somebody time traveled, you know, from 100 years ago to today and saw the things that are going on. So I'm not, again, not saying, you know, this is the mark of the beast or anything. I'm just saying there is a desensitizing to things with things that we would have thought years and years ago were impossible, or how would ever that. I actually looked up the Greek word for mark and I can't remember now what it was and some of the things, but you know, there wasn't a word in Greek for microchip, you know, I suppose when the scriptures were written. So, I could really see how this happens. Just psychologically preparing people to do something, you know, because it's convenient and it's fraud proof and such like that, to verify your information and such, and allow you to go places and to conduct commerce and such like that, you know. And again, he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on the right hand or their foreheads, and that no one could buy or sell except one who has the mark of the beast, and so on. You know, this, we've read this, we've known this, you know, it's in the scriptures, people have wondered, and I just kind of just step back and I look at everything that's happening and how things are accelerating, and I'm just thinking, you know, what is going on? And I just want to be discerning. It's hard to look around and not think, you know, and again, every generation has said this, but not think, you know, things are getting close, you know, the coming of the Lord. But like I said before, every generation has said, you know, this is going to happen in our lifetime. And so what do we do? You know, I'll just close with this. What do we do? We don't live in fear, right? We're the people of God. And as a matter of fact, the scripture says, I don't have it on the screen. It says, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Right? Hallelujah. Right? We don't live in fear of that. I look at things. I look at Israel. You know, could a nation be born in a day? It probably seemed, you know, impossible, you know, that it could happen, and yet it happened. And you look at what's happening even now with Russia and with China and all this, and you just start to say, man, oh man, you know, things are maybe getting closer. Well, obviously they're getting closer, but maybe they're on the doorstep. Huh? Well, yeah, sure. It's all part of it. And what do we do about it? You know, that's the thing. It's one thing to just say, oh, this is happening. I love the verse, and I don't have it on the screen. I forgot to add it in, but it's 1 Chronicles 12:32. And the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And so that's where we should be. That's where we should be as a church. We should understand the times. We should know what's going on. And I could be, you know, all wet with this. I'm looking at it, and I've heard of it. I've read about it. I've heard sermons about it, you know, for over 40 years. And it just looks like all of a sudden things are accelerating. And I just want us to be aware. I want us to be discerning and understanding where the Lord would have us to go, and or how he would have us to live. I'm going to ask you to stand, and we'll close with that. And I will just say this. Let's stand together. Right, wrong, or otherwise. You know, I kind of went out on a limb, and I, you know, just by sharing this message, I was like kind of nervous about sharing it. People think I've kind of gone off on some tangent or whatever. I don't know, you know, what you think about it. But I don't know. It just would really, really stir me. And the more I was reading about this, I thought, you know what? We, if nothing else, wake up. You know, we need to be woken up, as it were, and understand what is happening around us, and try to sort everything through this word of God. And look at this. Use this as a lens through which we see everything happening. And will we be 100% right on everything? No, probably not. You know, it's always easier in hindsight to look back and say, oh, you know, not this is that, but that was this, you know, kind of thing. You know, we missed it at the time, but now we can see it in hindsight. Hindsight's always 20/20. But the most important thing, and I just close with this, and that is that we are right with God. right? That our hearts and our lives are right with God. And, you know, we don't live in fear. We have the joy of the Lord in our lives. We have the assurance, the security. You know, the Bible says that the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But I think we need to walk wisely, and we need to understand the times and know what we are to do. So I would just close with that. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for every person here in this place. I pray, oh God, that every person, you know, no matter what the future holds, and if I'm, you know, right or off on this, I don't know, Lord God, but I just had this stirring in my heart that we've got to understand what's happening and that things are going on around us, Lord, but regardless, that we're all right with you, that we are in right relationship with you, and that we are walking with you, and we are listening to the voice of your Spirit. We're trying to be led by your Holy Spirit, God, and I thank you for it. And I pray for those that need to say yes to Jesus, who maybe have never yielded their life to him. If you listen online, wherever you are, this is the time. Today is the day of salvation. There's a lot happening in our world today, and it's not enough to be frustrated about it. It's not enough to wring your hands. There is an answer. That answer is found in Jesus Christ. So that we can live our lives, not only to have the security in our own lives that we belong to him, that he is our Lord and he is our Savior, he is our refuge, he is our strong tower, but to be able to share that with others around us, to be able to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to those that do not know him, Lord God. And I thank you for it in your precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what I shared. And pro or con, I'd love to hear what you have to say. God bless. You're dismissed. Enjoy, and let's have a time of fellowship.